Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Becharos Daf Yud. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur continues in the middle of a topic that began on Daf Tes Amud Beis. So, to recap, we saw on Daf Tes Amud Beis Shitas Rabbi Shimon that said that a Peter Hamor, when it's alive, is Mutter Bahano, which would mean that you could shear or work with a firstborn donkey, even prior to its redemption. Rabbah appeared on the lower part of Tes Amud Beis, and he was marked with a firebox, indicating that Reb Shimon would concede that if a person did not redeem the firstborn donkey with a seh, and opted rather for its neck to be broken, that donkey, after its neck is broken, is forbidden to benefit from its osur bahano. Rabbah then brought a source that served as the basis for this opinion, and it involved a source dealing with Tumas Ochlin, and in the source there was mention made of the Peter Chamor, and Rabbi Shimon said that the Peter Chamor, after it's killed, is not Metame Tumas Ochlin. And the basis of that was that food or food substance that you cannot give to others is not considered food. And hence, it doesn't come into the category of something that would metame tumas oichlin. So based on that, Rabbi Rabbah said that Rabbi Shimon holds that a peter chamor after its neck is broken is something that is osur behano. Based on the source dealing with the fact that it's not metame tumas ochlin. We are picking up today's Gemara on Daf Yud, a number of lines from the top of the page. Where we see a new approach taken to this matter. In fact, we see an approach that diverges or differs from Rabbah's approach to Rabbi Shimon. By way of markings, we should point out the superstructure, and we attempted to do this also during our last year. We pointed out that there are several stages to this Gemara. We labeled Rabbah on Tes Amud Beis as stage one, Rabbah representing the approach that Rabbi Shimon holds, that Peter Chamor, after its neck is broken, is Osir Bano. We pick up today's shiur at stage two, where, as we said, a different approach is taken, that really Rabbi Shimon will continue allowing one to benefit from the Peter Chamor even after its neck is broken. If you will raise the question, then why is it not mitama tumas ochlin? So that the Gemara will deal with immediately at the beginning of our shiur. But before we get into the Gemara itself, we want to emphasize some of the markings. We begin this shiur with a diamond reading Hocha b'mayaskinon. In the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading, Nosei being a topic heading, Mivneh representing a structural note. In this case, we've combined the two notes that often appear separately into one note. Let us read what we have written regarding the diamonds. Of course, we have one diamond here, and the next diamond will appear at the top of Amud Beis. So we have written Hesberim, that these are explanations. Lomo Peter Chamor Achar Arifosoi. Why is it that a Peter Chamor, after its neck is broken, Alibud Rabbi Shimon Eino Metame Tumas Ochlin? Why is it that it's not Metame Tumas Ochlin? In other words, it doesn't seem to be considered as a food item, and hence it doesn't communicate Tuma that is relevant to the realm of food. And why is it that it's not mitamat tumas ochlin b'li lahasik shu aser bano? In other words, we're going to seek an explanation for why it's not mitamat tumas ochlin without committing ourselves to saying that, well, it's not food because it's aser bano. Klomar, delo kerabo. In other words, not like Rabba's approach. Bo bazman, and simultaneously, or after we make mention of that, then yesh lahasbir lomo hachachomim mitamin. For whatever reason we give for the source concerning Peter Chamor that was seen at the bottom of Tesamid Beis, whatever hesber we give for that source, which will explain Rabbi Shimon's opinion, will at the same time have to explain why the Rabbanon hold that there is Tumas Ochlin. So that is what these diamonds represent. They represent explanations for the source wherein it was indicated according to Rabbi Shimon that the Petach Hamor will not mitama Tumas Ochlin. So the first diamond speaks about, well, he didn't have any intention, the Lo Choshev Olei. The second diamond at the top of Yud Amid Beis will speak about a case that the Petach Hamor was actually slaughtered for teaching purposes or for learning purposes. But according to both of these approaches that we've labeled, by the way, not only with diamonds, but we've also called these stages 2 and 3 in this whole discussion surrounding Rabbi Shimon and the issue of the Tumas Ochlin. So in stages 2 and 3, following the Rabbeinu Gershom, the Gemara is basically saying that Rabbi Shimon will not forbid it Bahano, will not asir it Bahano. At the same time, though, as we said, and we'll repeat ourselves, if he's not going to asir it Bahano, the question will be, then why is it that there is no Tumas Ochlin associated with the Petach Hamor after its neck is broken? So now let us start the Gemara. E dechoshiv olei. Here, as we said, the Gemara is rejecting that which Rabba had explained vis-a-vis Rabbi Shimon. E dechoshiv olei hochi nami. If the person, if the owner of this Petach Hamor, whose neck was broken, had machshava concerning it, had intention concerning it to be used as food for someone, for some Gentile to eat it, then it would in fact be metama tumas ochlin, because Rabbi Shimon does not forbid it b'hano, contrary to Rabba. Hocha b'mayaskinon, the Tanaic source at the bottom of Tes Amud Beis that said that it's not metama, delo choshev olei. He did not have food intentions concerning it. He didn't design it to be eaten. And it's pointed out that what's called stam in the neutral state, it's not considered a food item. In other words, dead donkey meat in its neutral state is not something that people would intend or plan to eat. Therefore, without this plan to eat it, it will not be considered food. All right, that having been said, that we're talking about a Petach Hamor that he did not have machshava over it, v'taymo mai mitama rabbonon, then why is it that the rabbonon in that source said that it is mitama tumas ochlin? Amrua rabbonon kameder Rav Sheshes. So the issue was spoken about in the presence of Rav Sheshes, and the answer was given, hoyol v'isuro chishuvo. Because it is something that is forbidden, the iser, the prohibition upon it, gives it a status of importance and thereby makes it food, makes it considered food. The Rashi on the upper part of the narrow lines, you can see about the fifth narrow line from the top. Rashi says, "V'isur chishuvo isur de osar le rachmono li Yisrael." The prohibition that the Torah mentions concerning Jews, "Mashvi le oichel," makes it into food. The kivun de'osarle, the fact that the Torah went out of its way to say that this is something you cannot eat, mechlal de'roi l'achila lo v'kichomemu, it must be that it is fit for eating for non-Jews. So as far as the Rabbanon are concerned, the iser that exists with regard to the Peter Chamor makes it considered food. Well, let us now continue in the Gemara. Ula Rabbanon mi Omar hoyo v'isuro chishuvo. The Gemara now challenges this explanation. Is it so that the Rabbanon subscribe to such a concept that that which is forbidden thereby gains food status? V'ha'tanan. Now, you notice a triangle. You'll notice on our explanation in the outside margin where we feature the triangle, we have written Kushos ala Hezber Shinitam the Rabbonon the Isuro Chishuvo. These will be a series of questions on this explanation that we are giving for the Rabbonon. We will notice after the question is raised, the Gemara answers the question time and time again with a similar answer, which we've featured with a double underline with dots in it, and we've highlighted the expression Homani Rabbi Shimon Hi, in other words, the sources that we will be raising as an objection to the explanation we are giving for the Rabbanon. The Gemara will deflect the question by saying, well, the source that you're raising as an objection is not a Rabbanon source. It is a Rabbi Shimon source. So it doesn't pose a threat or a problem to our explanation that we are giving for the Rabbanon. So we've labeled Nisyonos Lidchois Hakushos. These are attempts to deflect the questions. So as we go on in the Gemara asks, is it so that the Rabbanon will hold from this concept of Isuro Chishuvo, the fact that it is prohibited gives it food status, V'hotnan? We have the following Tanaic source, Shloishos Dvorim Omru B'Nevelas Oiv Tor. There are 13 different points of halacha that characterize a dead kosher variety bird, Vizu Achas Mehen, and the following is one of those points, Tzricha Machshava, the Eino Tzricha Hechsher. In order for it to become considered a food item, it has to have been planned to be eaten. It, however, does not need to have hechsher. It doesn't need to be exposed to any wetness in order for it to makabel tuma. That's a tangential point for as far as our topic is concerned. So we will continue in the Gemara. Now, v'i isuro chishuvoi, if it's so that that which the Torah prohibits, and a dead kosher variety bird, the Torah does in fact prohibit. So if this is so, that isuro chishuvo lomali machshava, why is there a need to intend it or plan for it to serve as a food item? The mere fact that it is prohibited is enough to give it the food status. Why is there any need for a plan to eat it? The Gemara answers, ha money, this source is not a Rabbanon source. It doesn't reflect the Rabbanon's opinion. As far as the Rabbanon are concerned, they will say Isuro Chishuvo. If you ask why, then, in the case of dead kosher variety bird, do you need to have Machshava? That's ha money, Rabbi Shimoni. This is according to Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't subscribe to the concept of Isuro Chishuvo. So how is it going to be considered food unless you have Machshava? Otherwise, the stam dead bird is not something people would plan to eat. Toshma, well, we try to raise a question again on our explanation of the Rabbanon. Nevelas behemot tameo b'chol mokom, a dead unkosher variety animal in all places, whether it be villages or cities. Unevelas oiv tohor, dead kosher variety birds. V'hachelev, and fats from animals. Bekforim, kforim are villages, small, or hamlets. These are in places like that, people don't ordinarily eat the dead kosher variety birds or chelev. Therefore, tzrichim machshava, v'einom tzrichim hechsher. in order for these things to be considered oichel, there would have to be a plan to eat them. And at the beginning of this particular source, of course, you can see it's a Tanaic source as it appears in a frame, as did the previous section as well. In our marking system, Tanaic sources appear in frames. So in this source, it started by describing a dead, let us say, dead horse, dead donkey. These are nevelas beimotmea. In no locales do people eat that. They don't plan to eat it. Therefore, if you want it to be considered a food item, it would have to have machshava, a plan to eat it. Now the question is raised, just like we asked before, v'i amris isuro chishuvo, if you were to subscribe to this concept, that the fact that the Torah assers it, that reflects, that shows that it is a food item, then lomali machshava, why is there a need for a plan to eat it, an intent to eat it? It should already be considered a food item by virtue of the fact that it's a forbidden, it is forbidden to consume it. The Gemara answers once again, Ha money, Rabbi Shimon he. This source is in accordance with Rabbi Shimon. It's a teaching of Rabbi Shimon and not the Rabbanan. And hence, it doesn't pose a question on our explanation we are giving for the Rabbanan. Ta Shema. Now, this section, we've employed a long marking. You can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text an abbreviated Tofshin, a Toshma abbreviation, in a triangle with a vertical descending dashed line, indicating that all of this piece of Gemara represents a kasha. Toshma, nevelas behema tohoro, b'chol mokoim, a dead kosher variety animal, unevelas of hatohor, and a dead kosher variety bird, vachelev, and fats, b'shmokim. Shmokim are major cities, are large population centers. Einon tzrichin machshava v'lo hechsher. There is no need for a plan to eat them, nor do they need hechsher in order for them to be considered food items. Now we can infer ha tameo bayo machshava. From this source, so the source itself talks about the nevelas behema tahora. If it were a dead, unkosher variety animal, then there would be a need for machshava. And we don't say isuro zehu chishuva. We don't say the fact that a dead, unkosher variety animal is something forbidden and thereby giving it food status. Well, v'chitema homani Rabbi Shimon, you might want to try to give the same answer as we did up till now, that this is in accordance with Rabbi Shimon. But homi de seifa Rabbi Shimon, havi reisha lav Rabbi Shimon. The fact is that the seifa, the latter part of this very same Tanaic source, is authored by Rabbi Shimon. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon appears for the first time in the Sefer. He is not the author of the Reisha. And now the Gemara gives you the Sefer in which Rabbi Shimon appears. Dikotoni Sefer, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Af Hagomol Varneves Vashofon Vachazir. These are all types of different unkosher type animals. Einon Srichin Loi Machshava Veloi Hechsher. They do not need any plan to eat it, nor do they require hechsher in order to makabel tuma. The Omar Rebbe Shimon ma tam. Why is it that they don't need machshava? Why are they considered food items? Hoyul v'yesh bohen simone taro. Since the gomel, aneves, shofan, and chazir, each one of them has a singular sign of kashrus. As you are probably aware, signs of kashrus by animals are the chewing of its cud and split hooves. The gomel, arneves, shofan, and chazir, each one of these creatures has one of the two signs of kashrus. This gives it a certain status of importance vis-a-vis being considered food. So these creatures, as far as Rabbi Shimon are concerned, are considered of food. Now, what do we see from this? We have a sefer that was quoted just before. There was a reisha that was quoted. The reisha was the Rabbanon, and an inference was made from the reisha that said that if you were dealing with a dead, unkosher variety animal, you would have to have machshav, otherwise it will not be considered food. So we see that we cannot explain the Rabbanon position based on isuro chishuvo. Now, therefore, as far as the Peter Chamor is concerned, that they said is mitame, we'll have to say that if you're going to say it's mitame because he had a machshava on it, and still Rabbi Shimon. And still Rabbi Shimon is mitahir it. So if you're going to explain the source on Daf Tes Amud Beis, the Rabbanan, let us not forget, the Rabbanan said that the Peter Chamor, for example, is mitama tumas ochlin. We cannot use the Hezber of Isuro Chishuva. We show that they don't subscribe to that. So then why is the Peter Chamor mitama tumas oichlin? So we'll have to say it's because there was a machshava. There was a machshava to eat it. There was a plan to eat it. Well, then Rabbi Shimon also is describing, is going to explain it the same way, that there was a plan to eat it. Well, if there was a plan to eat it, then why does Rabbi Shimon say it won't mitama tumas oichlin? So it must be because it's osur b'hanah. Well, that's just like Rabba. So if in this section of Gemara we were trying to take an approach to show that unlike Rabba, well, we haven't done that. The Gemara goes on. Elo Omar Rava. De kule alma lo aminon isuro chishuvo. Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbonon, in fact, will agree that we do not say isuro chishuvo. V'in da'arfe mi'arif hochi nami. If the animal's neck was broken, the Rabbanan will be moide that it's not mitame tumas oichlin because there was no machshava. In other words, we're going back to what we said at stage two and said there is no, as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, there's no tumas ochlin because he had no machshava concerning it. If that be the case, then if he had no machshava concerning it, and the Rabbonan do not hold from Isuro Chishuvo, then what would be the basis of their holding that there is tumas ochlin? After all, he didn't plan to eat it. And by explaining that he didn't plan to eat it, we can easily understand Rabbi Shimon who says there's no tumas ochlin, it's not food. So why do the Rabbanan say there is? Hocha b'mayaskinon, at the very top of Yud Amud Beis, in that source, the source from Tes Amud Beis, Hocha b'mayaskinon, here we are dealing, kagon, sheshochtoi lehislame boi. It was slaughtered with the Petach Hamor. Its neck was not broken, but rather it was slaughtered. It received a proper slaughtering, but of course you can't eat it, but it's a slaughtering for to learn how to do a slaughtering, how to do a shechita. So the question right now is, we're dealing with food item, or this donkey meat, concerning which there was no machshava, there was no direct machshava to make it into food. However, a shechita was done, a shechita lehislamed. It wasn't a shechita for the intention of eating it, but it was a shechita for learning how to do shechita. Does something like that have the ability to make it considered a food item? According to the Rabbanan, yes. Shechita l'slamed is considered a full-fledged shechita to make it into a food item. The Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, will say that it's not a full-fledged shechita. And he had no machshava, as we said before. Therefore, it's not considered a food item. Ubeplukta de nimus v'rebelozer. This analysis, indicating dealing with shechita l'slamed, parallels a machlokus between two other tanoim. Nimus is a name, and rebelozer, the sanya, and they are featured in the following Tanaic source. Omar Reb Yossi, Sochli Nimus, Ochiv Shel Yoshua Garsi. Reb Yossi tells us that Nimus, the brother of Yoshua HaGarsi, told him, Shashochet es ha'oirev l'hislameid boi domoi machshir. A person who slaughtered an orev. An orev is an unkosher variety bird. If someone slaughtered it for teaching purposes or for learning purposes, learning how to do slaughtering, so the blood that comes from that is capable of being machshir, of if it hits, let's say, some food items, if it hits vegetables, they will be ready to absorb tumah. Rebbe Elezer Omer, Dam Shechita Li'Oilom Machshir. Dam from a slaughtering always creates Hechshir. Well, Rebbe Elezer Hainu Tanakama, they seem to be saying the same thing, namely Nimus and Rebbe Elezer are both saying that the blood is a substance, the blood from a Shechita is a substance capable of being Machshir food to Makabel Tumah. Elolav, rather, what is the point of difference? Isuro chishuvo ika binayu. Now, this is not to be confused with the term isuro chishuvo that we had earlier. This is a case of isuro chishuvo, and Rashi adds, most importantly, together with a shechita. Tanakama sovar, domo machshir la'alma. The blood that comes from this slaughtering will, if it hits other food items, will machshir them, avol legufei boi machshava. But as far as the bird itself, the orev itself, it's not considered food unless you have a plan to eat it. Without the machshava, the mere shechita l'slame does not make it into a food item. And thusly, will Rabbi Shimon hold? Rabbi Shimon from Daf Tes Amid Beis, the same Rabbi Shimon that we've been discussing all the time. The also Rabbi Elezer Lemeimar and Rabbi Elezer, the second opinion that we just saw in this bird, in the Orev slaughtering source, he comes along to say, Dam shechita li'olam machshir v'afilu lugufei nami loy boy machshavan. As far as the bird itself is concerned, it doesn't need any further plan to eat it. Basically, the shechita l'slamed made it into a food item. And thusly, the Rabbanon, who argue with Rabbi Shimon, the Rabbanon will subscribe to this approach. So that, at this point then, to review the general scheme of things, unlike Rabbah, when you're dealing with a Petach Hamor, and we saw a source that said, according to Rabbi Shimon, the Petach Hamor is not Mitama Tumas Ochlin. Well, what were the circumstances? So, we're explaining right now that you have a Petach Hamor that was slaughtered for educational purposes. There was no plan to eat it, per se, no plan to eat the meat. Therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, without any plan to eat it, the mere shechita l'slame does not make it into a food item. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, will tell you that even though there was no machshava to eat it, the fact that it was slaughtered even though it was slaughtered not for eating purposes, but slaughtered for educational purposes, that is enough to categorize it as food. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section. Let us correct ourselves. The brackets appear on the next line. The Gemara continues now with a question. Mimai, who is to say that this is the explanation? Dilma, Taima the Rebbe Eliezer. Maybe Rebbe Eliezer's reason for saying that the bird itself does not need machshava is Dilma Taima de Rebbe Eliezer Hossam, the shiny orev. That was a very special case. It was a case of an orev bird being shechted. Hoyel v'yesh bo simone tara. Since the orev bird has a couple of the signs that are characteristic of a kosher variety bird. In order for a bird to be considered kosher, the Gemara in Chulin lists a number of different signs that a kosher variety bird would have. An orev happens to have two of those signs. So maybe that's the reason that Rebbe Eliezer holds that the orev that is considered food. Let us glance at the Rashi. Hoyul, a few lines down from here. Hoyul v'yesh bo simone tara, kidomar be'utrefus, bishum hochi havi uchla. That's the reason that it's considered food. Avo legabi petachamor, the lesle simone tara, with regard to the petachamor that has no signs of kashrus, a donkey doesn't have split hooves, and the donkey does not chew its cud. Ilav dechoshev olei, if he did not have a plan to eat it, mishum hach shchita lo metamu le rabbonon, because of that shchita, the shchita lislamed, the rabbonon would not have said that it is tame. Therefore, the Rabbanan did, however, say that the Petach Hamor was Metame Tumas Ochlin. So it must be that there was a plan to eat it. V'Rabbi Shimon, who said that it's not Metame Tumas Ochlin, Afagav the Choshev Olei, even though he had a plan to eat it, it's not Metame Tumas Ochlin. Mishum the Osir Bahano Le'achar Arifa, because after its neck is broken, which was the case there, it is Osir Bahanoah. You can't give it to anybody. And there was a rule that we saw that Rabbah told us there that if Oichel Shiato Yochol Achil Achim is not Oichel, Kidda Rabbah, just like Rabbah teaches. So, as far as the general structure of the Gemara is concerned, this point, this last point is very short in the Gemara, but is undoes basically all of the attempts till now to dislodge Rabbah from his position. We see not so. We see that Rabbah's explanation comes right back, and that as far as the case of Shchita Islamid is concerned, that would be of no significance outside the realm of an orev. Now we have a bracketed section. If we skip the brackets, we come to a point at which the Gemara says, in Hochinami. What was just suggested, in fact, is true. And what was said in the brackets, we'll see what this means. It says, Umishum Nimus. Because of what Nimus said, so it says it as it does. The Gemara now in the bracketed section says Umenolon the Simone Tara Milsahi. From where do you know to say... Actually, before we go further in the Gemara, we shouldn't ignore some of our markings. At the opposite this line, where it said Mimai Dilmo Taimo, the first wide line, you'll notice a long marking. We have a Dalid encircled, indicating a Dechia. What that shows is that the approach that we took up till this point, namely, setting up the Machlokas Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon surrounding the issue of Shechita L'Islamed, here the Gemara rejects that. And all of these lines were, that are opposite the vertical dashed line following that encircled Dalid serve to make this point that we are questioning or rejecting that which was just said. And the significance of this marking is basically to show that that at the end of the story, Rabba is reinstated. Now, as far as the bracketed section, there is a bracket length indicator. If you have trouble seeing where brackets end, glance to the space to the immediate side of the Gemara text, in this case the right-hand side, you'll see a dashed, dotted, vertical line. That indicates that this is the piece of Gemara that's in brackets. So now, after having mentioned before the brackets that the case of Orev is different, and maybe only there Rabbi Elazar will say that it is considered food, because the Orev happens to have Simone Tara. So now we ask, Uminolon de Simone Tara Milsahi, from where do we know that signs of kashrus make something into a food item? Well, there's a source for that. De Kotoni Alodahi, there was a source that we actually saw earlier. You'll notice we have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating Omid Aleph. So if you glance back at Omid Aleph, trying to find a parallel star on the left-hand side, you will notice one, four lines from the bottom. In that source, there was a Mishnah quoted, and then a Brisa that begins with the words, V'omer Rabbi Shimon. This was Rabbi Shimon dealing with the slaughtered Gomel, Arneves, Shofan, and Chazir. Why they don't need Machshava? Why are they considered food? So it was taught, and we can read our Gemara here. Omer Rabbi Shimon, Ma'atam. Why are those specific creatures considered food? Hayol v'yesh boi simone tara, since they have a sign of kashrus. V'chitema I mishum simone tara mai irya lehislamed. If the main point is because of simone tara, and that's why Rabbi Eliezer says that it will be mush, it will be considered food, it will be considered food even without any further machshava. My irya lehislamed. Why does the source speak about a shechita for learning purposes? Filu lehisasek nami. Even if it was a cutting of the bird's neck without intention to shecht it at all, which is called lehisasek. In other words, a person was, let's say, picking up a knife off the ground with the intention of putting it on a table, and not realizing there was a bird there, he ended up cutting a bird's neck and accomplishing a shechita, which is a lesser form of action, less significant type of action. But if you're saying that simone tara are the only factor that is of concern, so why does the source speak about an act of significance of slaughtering, namely shechita l'islamed? Even this less significant act wouldn't prevent it from being considered food because of the fact that you're saying it has simone tara. So the Gemara answers, responds to that, in Hachinami. That happens to be true. It didn't have to speak about l'islamed. So why does it mention that? Umishum nimus. It's there to show how far nimus goes. Nimus holding that even though you did a relatively significant act, namely shchita l'islamed, the bird will not be considered food unless you do have machshava. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice a new marking. There is a volcano shape, and at the outside margin under our mivne heading, under our structural note, we feature this volcano shape and also indicate ma'akav. We will see this shape flipping its position. This is in order for us to be able to keep track. Ma'akav is to keep track, to follow in a play-by-play fashion the back-and-forth nature of the discussion. So these volcanoes with the narrow part facing up represent Kushyos al Rabbah. We will be challenging Rabbah. She'omar de Reb Shimon Oser Bahano Peter Chamor Lacharifoso. Once again, challenging Rabbah that appeared on Tesamid Beis that said Reb Shimon will say that there is an Isser Hano on the Petach Hamor after its neck is broken. In other words, Rabbi Shimon, who held that a Petach Hamor, a firstborn male donkey, is not forbidden to benefit from, but that's only true while it's alive, but after its neck is broken, in the case that a person does not redeem it, so Rabbi Shimon says it will be prohibited. Oser Bahana. The volcano shape, when flipped over, represents responses. So now we turn to the Gemara. Esve Abaye. A Tanaic source appears, and we've labeled this Resha because later the Gemara will make reference to it in contrast to the Seifa, the latter part of the source. So in the meantime, we have a source that says, Lo Rotza Livdoisoi, if a person does not want to redeem the Petach Hamor, then Orfo Bekupitz Me'achorov V'Koivroi. He shall use a kupitz, a type of knife, and use that for breaking the donkey's neck from the back of its neck. The kovro, he buries it. The oser bahano, and it's forbidden to benefit from it. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon matir. Now, we've emphasized with a dashed underline matir, and underlined Rabbi Shimon because this is the focus of our discussion. So you see, unlike Rabbah, Rabbah said that under these circumstances it would be forbidden. Rabbi Shimon says, under these circumstances, according to Rabbi Shimon, it would be forbidden to benefit. And yet here it says, Rabbi Shimon says explicitly it's mutter. And this is a Tanaic source. The Gemara says, Ema, rather say, Umechayim oser b'hanov Rabbi Shimon matir. The source is speaking about the animal while it's still alive, whereby Rabbi Yehuda says that Petach Hamor is Osir as soon as it's born. And Rabbi Shimon does not forbid a living Petach Hamor, but after it's dead, he will forbid it. The Gemara asks, V'ha mi de seifa mechayim have, but from the fact that the latter part of this source speaks about it, the Petach Hamor, when alive, Resha lav mechayim. The Resha, the section we just read, it's not alive, it's dead already, and still Rabbi Shimon is matir, and that would be unlike Rabbah. Dikotoni seifa. Now we are shown the Sefer, which speaks about it while it's alive. It says, Lo yemisenu, you should not kill it, lo bekonav, lo bemago, lo bekardim, lo bemegero. You should not use any of these types of devices that on other occasions are cutting devices, but he should not use these things, a kon as a reed, magol, another type of cutting implement, kardom, is a hatchet, and a megera, a saw. And v'lo yachnisenu lecheder v'yinol delas lefonav. He shouldn't bring it into a room and lock the door on it. B'shvil shiyamus, and thereby starve it to death. None of these things should be done. The ulcer begizav avoda, and it's forbidden to shear it and work with it. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. See, you can see we're describing the petach hamor while it's still alive. Rabbi Shimon matir. Rabbi Shimon says when it's alive, it's mutter to benefit from it. Well, so the Seifa speaks about it while alive. The Reisha must therefore have been speaking about the petach hamor after it was killed, and we saw that Rabbi Shimon was matir. And that was a kasha on Rabbah. Well, you see, the volcano flips over. The Gemara answers on behalf of Rabbah, Reisha v'Seifa mechayim. The Reisha and Seifa, in which Rabbi Shimon says mutter, it's still alive. However, and we have to speak out, however, after it's killed, Rabbi Shimon will concede it's usur just like Rabbah. So now, the two sections here, the Reisha and Seifa, you're saying, are describing the animal, the petach hamor, while it's alive. Reisha b'hanoas domov, the Reisha describes benefiting from its money value. For example, if you were to rent it out or sell it and get cash for it, you are the issue of getting hanoah from that is a machlokes, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon. Seifa b'hanoas gufo, using it for plowing or for shearing it. But again, while it's still alive. You'll ask, well, what do I need to state both examples when one would have been sufficient? So the Gemara says, no, I need to have both examples of Hanoah featuring a Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Both examples, though common to both of them, it's still alive. D'i tono Hanoas domov, had I had just the example of deriving benefit from its cash equivalent from its value, not from its own body. Balhu koshori Rabbi Shimon, maybe under those circumstances alone Rabbi Shimon allows. Aval b'hanoas gufo, but when it comes to deriving benefit from the animal itself, namely shearing the animal's body or working with the animal itself, so emo modele the Rabbi Huda. There would have been room to think that Rabbi Shimon would not be so lenient. Hereafter, you're dealing with the animal itself. Maybe he would agree with Rabbi Yehuda to forbid. V'i tonobano as gufo, and had I taught just that issue of benefiting from its body and featuring the machlokas only on that, bahi ka'osa Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe only there Rabbi Yehuda would have stated his opinion of stringency. Avol b'hanaz domov emo modil Rabbi Shimon. Had I not been taught an additional section, I would have been left to think that when it comes to hanaz domov, Rabbi Yehuda would have agreed with Rabbi Shimon to rule leniently. Sricho, therefore I do need both. However, just to emphasize the main point, as far as the Tanaic source is concerned, wherein we see Rabbi Shimon being lenient, that's only when it's still alive. However, if it's not redeemed and its neck is broken, even Rabbi Shimon will concede that it's forbidden to benefit from it, just like Rabbah. So, once again, you can see how we've been involved with this sugya from Tesamid Beis, continuously trying to hammer away at Rabbah and using sources and what have you in order to knock off Rabbah's approach to Rabbi Shimon, but we are not successful. Rabbah is still, let's say, maintaining his position. We are maintaining Rabbah's position in the Gemara. And now, you'll notice a new marking, a double underline. You see one here and further down on the page. On the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, you can see we featured a double underline and we've written Oid Deois, other additional opinions, Shesoivrim Kerabah, that hold like Rabbah. Namely, the Rabbi Shimon Osir Bahano Petach Hamor Le'achar Arifoso. The Rabbi Shimon will forbid to benefit from a Petach Hamor after its neck is broken. the Gemara. V'chein Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabo Bar Avua. The expression v'chein Omar and similarly and thusly also says Rav Nachman. This means in addition to Rabo from Tesamid Beis, Rav Nachman says the same thing, namely Moedir Rabbi Shimon Lachar Arifa Shu Oser. Rabbi Shimon will concede, Rabbi Shimon, who holds while it's alive, a Peter Chamor is mutter to benefit from, if, however, you don't redeem it and allow its neck to be broken and break its neck, it becomes Osir Behano. The Omer Rav Nachman Mono Amin Olah, where do I know this from? So you'll see we have a new marking, we have a triangle, and this is explained in the outside margin, Mono Amin Olah. Attempts on Rav Nachman's part to demonstrate that Reb Shimon will hold thusly. So, from where do I know this? The Gemara continues, and we should, before reading on, just note more of some of our markings. You'll notice an aleph that's circled to the immediate left hand, to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. If you skim down, you'll notice a base, quite a few lines down from here. There you see Iko Demasni Law Lahod Rav Nachman Aha. Rav Nachman appears right now in our Gemara as a comment made concerning Rabbi Shimon. And later, the Gemara will say that Rav Nachman's comment is made on another source. And we'll see, we're simply presenting right now that there's a second version in concerning in what context Rav Nachman appears. In the meantime, let's continue with the Gemara, with the triangle number one. Mino amin olah, how do I know, from where do I know, says Rav Nachman, that Rav Shimon will agree that it's osir bano after Arifa. Stesanya, the source begins quoting a posik varafto. The word varafto, breaking its neck, appears in the case of the firstborn donkey that is not redeemed. Ne'emar kan arifa, v'ne'emar lahalon arifa. We find the word arifa here, we find the word arifa elsewhere. Ma lahalon osir, just like over there, it is forbidden to benefit. Afkan, so to hear, in the case of the peter chamor, osir, it is forbidden to benefit from it. Money, who would the author of this source be? Ilema Rabbi Huda, if you were to think it's Rabbi Huda, well, Mechaya Meser Osir, he forbids it already while it's still alive, and yet this source isn't speaking about that. This source is speaking about after its neck is broken. Elolav Rabbi Shimon he. Rather, you must conclude that this is according to Rabbi Shimon. So you see, Rabbi Shimon holds it is also banal after its neck is broken, after the Petach Hamor's neck is broken. The triangle flips over here, and now we had noted, we should have noted in our under our Mivneh heading, the inverted triangle represents dechios, rejections of what was just said. So Omar Le Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes rejects this analysis, and he says, Safra Chavrin, our friend Rav Safra, Safra is a name. Safra Chavrin Tirguma explained this unnamed source, the Olam Rabbi Yehuda. It really is Rabbi Yehuda. Well, you'll ask, well, if it's Rabbi Yehuda, it's Osir already from while it's alive. Why do you have to tell me after its neck is broken, it is forbidden? Well, I need to tell you that. Salkadai Techamina, without having told you that after its neck is broken, I would have thought something else. I would have thought, Hoyol v'arifa b'mokum p'diyo medes, since breaking of neck is done in place of redemption. In other words, you could have redeemed it. You opted for the, take the other path. So, that's the arifa path. So the arifa is in place of p'diyo. What do we know about Padiyah? What do we know about redemption? Ma Padiyah Materes. Just like after redemption, after the Petach Hamor is redeemed onto a Keves, the Petach Hamor is Mutter. Af Arifa Materes. So too Arifa would fulfill the same thing. So I would have thought. Kamash Malon. Therefore I need this Tanaic source to teach me, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that it's Osir even after Arifa. However, as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, Not necessarily so. Well, then how does Rav Nachman know that Rav Shimon will say that after its neck is broken, Rabbi Shimon will say that it's Osir Bano? Amar Rav Nachman, Mino Amin Allah. Here you see this is number two, the second attempt of on Rav Nachman's part to show us that Rabbi Shimon will say after its neck is broken, it's forbidden to benefit. So, Midatani Levi, from the Tanaic source taught in the Yeshiva of Levi, it says as follows, Hu hifsid mamono shel kohen, lefikoch yufsad mamono. He, by not redeeming the firstborn donkey, is causing a loss to the kohen. In other words, if you would have redeemed it, so the kohen would have benefited by receiving the seh that you would give to the kohen as redemption. Well, you didn't do that. Lefikoch yufsad mamono. Therefore, you, the owner, should also experience a loss. Before going on, let's just glance at the Rashi. You'll see further down on the page, he opted not to redeem it and give the thereby depriving the kohen of receiving the sheep redemption animal. Rashi goes on, lefikoch yufsad mamono, yichbu bezdin liorfoi, the bezdin will force him, the owner of this firstborn male donkey, to break its neck, liachar shloshim, kinu farish, behai pirka, v'yaser v'hano, he'll have to break its neck, and after 30 days, and it will be osir v'hano. Well, money. Who is the author of this source that certainly indicated that after its neck is broken, it becomes a loss to the owner? Money. Ilema Rebbe Yehuda. If the author of this were Rebbe Yehuda, ha mifsed v'koi. Well, he's already at a loss, so to speak. It's according to Rebbe Yehuda, it's usur to for the owner to benefit from it while it's still alive. Elolav, Rabbi Shimon, he. Rather, this source is in accordance with Rabbi Shimon. And we see from here that after Arifa, after its neck is broken, it becomes Osir Bahano. You notice the triangle now flips over. This is a rejection of what we just said. The Gemara says, Eboyes Emo Rebuta, Eboyes Emo Rebbe Shimon. If you like, we can ascribe this source to Rebuta. We can also ascribe it to Rebbe Shimon. And yet we won't come out with the conclusion that after Arifa, it is Osir Bahano. Eboy same Rebbe Yehuda. You can ascribe this source to Rebbe Yehuda, but you would have asked, but isn't it Osir already? So the answer to that is Apseto de Beini Beini. The loss that this source refers to is as follows. When the donkey was alive, he could have redeemed it with a sheep. The animal itself, the donkey, is worth more than the sheep. So the owner would have profited the difference in price between the donkey that the sheep that he'll give to the Kohen and keep the more valuable donkey. Now that he has opted not to do that, so that amount he would have benefited, profited, that difference he now loses. So that's what is meant by the loss as a result of breaking its neck. Once again, even though while it's alive, it's true, Rebbe Yehuda will hold that he can't benefit from it. However, by not redeeming it, he experiences a loss that he otherwise would not have experienced, namely that difference in value he is now going to be losing. V'iboyesemo Rebbe Shimon. you can say that this source is in accordance with Rav Shimon. So what does it mean, yufsad momono? If you are not going to learn like Rabba, namely that after it's dead, it's still mutar b'hana'ah, so where is the hefsid? So the Gemara says it could be Iboy Seima Rabbi Shimon lipchas misa. Very simply, the animal when alive, which Rabbi Shimon said you could benefit from, was worth more than the dead donkey, which you can still benefit from. So that point having been made shows you that we can't be sure, like Rav Nachman was, that this would be a source to demonstrate Rabbi Shimon holding that after Arifa, it's Asur Banal. As we said, you don't really see that from here. V'chein Omar Reish Lakish. You can see, we double underline this. This ties you into what we did before. Just like Rabba on Tes Amid Beis, Reish Lakish will say, Moide Rabbi Shimon, the Achar Arifa, Shu Asur. Rabbi Shimon will concede that even though he holds when it's alive, the Petach Mor is Mutar Bano, after its neck is broken, it is forbidden to benefit from it. Rabbi Yochanan, V'itemo Rabbi Lozer, Omar, Adayin, Himachlokes. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Reish Lakish and says that Rabbi Shimon will hold his position even after its neck is broken, his position that it is Mutar. And the Rabbonan disagree with Rabbi Shimon. As mentioned earlier, we now have a second version as to the role Rav Nachman is to play, or regarding what Rav Nachman enters the picture. Ika demasni lo lahod Rav Nachman. There are those that teach Rav Nachman's comment. Rav Nachman's comment was that Rabbi Shimon is moida that l'achar misa the animal is osur banal. They ascribe that observation aho regarding the following source. Hamekadesh Petach Hamor Eino Mekudesh is one who tries to marry a woman by offering her a firstborn male donkey, she will not be considered married. It's important just to know that in order for a marriage to take place, a woman has to be presented with some either cash or something of money value. And thereby, upon her acceptance, she becomes a mekudeshes. She becomes married. So, lemo masnisin de lo krebi Shimon. This source that says if someone's Mekadesh with a Petach Hamor, she's not married. Well, it sounds like this is not like Rabbi Shimon, because we know Rabbi Shimon says a Petach Hamor is something you're allowed to benefit from. So if a woman was given a Petach Hamor, according to Rabbi Shimon, she would be Mekudeshes. So it sounds like this is not like Rabbi Shimon. We're not in accordance with Rabbi Shimon. Omar Rav Nachman. We should point out also that in this piece of Gemara there are going to be two versions. The first version starts by saying Lemo Masis and Delok Rabbi Shimon. The Iko the Amri, which you see on the next line, the squiggle underline, will be a second approach to this particular discussion. So in the meantime, Rav Nachman enters and says, Omar Rav Nachman Omar Rabba Bar Avua Li'achar Arifa V'Divrei HaKoil. This source that says that a woman cannot be married by being presented with a Petach Hamor, this is a Petach Hamor after its neck is broken, and everyone will agree she's not Mekudeshes, including Rabbi Shimon. And why is that? Because it's Asur Bahana, so you haven't given the woman anything of benefit. So you can see from here, similarly to what we've said earlier, Rav Nachman holding, like Rabba, we saw much earlier on Daf Tesa Mebeis, that after Arifa, Rabbi Shimon also agrees it's Asur Bahana. Ika di Amri, another version of this discussion is Ha Money, this source of Mekadesh Petach Hamor, she's not Mekudeshes, who is this? Lo Rabbi Yehuda v'lo Rabbi Shimon. It doesn't work out according to either one of these Tanoim. E Rabbi Shimon Tigdash Bikulei. If it were according to Rabbi Shimon, she should be mekudeshes with the entire petach hamor. After all, the whole animal is muter b'hanot, so he would have been giving her something of value. E Rebbe Yehuda, if it's according to Rebbe Yehuda, then tikdash b'hach de beini beini. At least she should have been mekudeshes, even though he's giving her this petach hamor, which is something that Rebbe Yehuda will say you cannot benefit from, but nevertheless she could redeem it with a less costly sheep, and she would be in fact benefiting by the difference in value, so that you really are giving the woman something of benefit, namely that differential value. So it sounds like this source is neither according to Rebbe Yehuda nor according to Rebbe Shimon, because both of those tanaim would have said that she is mekudeshes. Omar Rabba Baravua, Omar Rav, Le'olam Rebbe Yehuda. This source that says she's not mekudeshes is in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda, who says that a petach hamor, when it's alive, is something that you cannot benefit from. Ukugoin she'enu shoveh l'shekel. And the circumstances are that this firstborn male donkey is worth only a shekel. That's the value that it has. V'savar law, and Rebbe Yehuda will also hold to Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda, like the opinion reflected by Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda, that we'll see in a source momentarily. He will say that the redemption animal must be worth a shekel. So if we're talking about a very cheap petach hamor that happened to be born, worth only a shekel, and the redemption sheep must be a shekel in value, so there is no beini ubeini. There is no difference, so that if you're giving a woman a petach hamor that's worth a shekel, and she's going to have to lay out a shekel in order to redeem it onto a sesh, so you haven't given her anything. Desanyo, the source says tifteh, the word tifteh, Rashi points out, is the pasuk says upetach hamor tifteh b'seh, appears on two occasions, it appears twice. So we learn from these psukim, tifteh miyad, tifteh kolshehu, that pidyon can take place even within 30 days, the redemption can take place even within 30 days, and the redemption can be done even on something of very little cost. In other words, the sheep could be something of very little cost. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Ein Pedia Pchusa Me Shekel. Redemption must be onto something that is worth a minimum of a shekel. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, given that we're talking about a petach hamor worth a shekel in the source that spoke about her not being mekudeshes, and you have to buy a sheep worth that same amount, so there is no difference in value that we could say the woman is benefiting from, and therefore we understand why she's eina mekudeshes. Omar Mar, this is a quote of that which we just saw. Tifteh, tifteh, tifteh miyad, tifteh kol shehu. The double expression of the double appearance of the pasuk taught me these two points of halacha. So the Gemara asks, pshita, isn't what is taught here obvious? Especially that you tell me that you can redeem it immediately. Well, of course you can redeem it. Why not? So, itzterich, I need to be taught this. Salka daita chamina, I would have thought, hoyo v'iskash libuchor odom, since the Torah teaches the din of petach hamor in the context of buchor odom. Rashi quotes the posuk, two lines from Vadam, he quotes the posuk from Bamidbor Perek Yudches, where it says, es buchor odom ve'es buchor abehemo temeo tifdeh. So they're taught together. That's called a hekesh. Ma b'chor odom achar shloshim, just like when it comes to firstborn human being, firstborn male child, redemption takes place after 30 days. U b'chomesh, and with 5 pieces of silver. Hai nami, the same should apply to the firstborn male donkey, achar shloshim v'chomesh. I would have thought only after 30 days and with 5 pieces of silver. Komashmalan tifteh miyad, tifteh kol shehu. Therefore, the source teaches me not like that. In other words, that redemption of a male, firstborn male donkey can be done immediately within 30 days and even without 5 sloyim. We quote now Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer, Ein Pedia Prusa Mi Shekel. That we saw in the source above. The Gemara asks, Mi Monafshach. Either way you look at things, this comment of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is hard to understand. I makish lebechor adam, if he compares the dinim of Petach Hamor to firstborn male child, then chomesh liboy, you should require five sloyim. Where does this shekel idea come from? V'iloy makish, and if he doesn't make a comparison to human child, then shekel minole, where does he learn the shekel idea from? What's his source? The Gemara answers, le'olam loy makish. He does not compare Bechor Adam to the Petach Hamor, or the Petach Hamor to Bechor Adam. Omar Rava, Omar Kro. The Pasuk says, V'chol erkecha ye b'shekel hakodesh. And from this Pasuk we learn, kol erichin sha'atam arich, all evaluations that you make, lo yu p'husa mishekel, shall not be less than a shekel. And since we're talking about the value of a seh that will serve as redemption for the firstborn male donkey, it shall not be less than a shekel, as is dictated by this pasuk. The Rabbanon, now the Rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, who said that it can be even less than a shekel, they said kol dehu. Hahu, this pasuk is behesig yad siv. This is talking about a situation where someone donated or dedicated his Torah value to the Beis HaMikdash, but he can't afford the Torah rate. So we're told that he shall not give less than a shekel. Namely, even if he doesn't have even a shekel to his name, he will be charged a shekel because of the vow that he took. Omer Rav Nachman, halacha kedivrei chachamim. Rav Nachman rules that the halacha is like the chachamim, that pidyon is bekoldehu. Ve'kama, well, how much is that? Omer Rav Yosef, afilu patroiza bardanka. Even a very lean, emaciated emaciated sheep worth a danka, a sixth of a dinar. Omar Rava af ana nami tnina. We have actually learned this at the end of our Mishnah on Tes Amid Aleph. It said there godol v'katan, that you can use a large sheep, a small sheep, or pshita. That would seem to be obvious. Rashi says pshita da filu patruza. Taha kol shuhu ko amri rabbanan li'el. The Gemara is asking here, when Rav Yosef tells me that you can use even a patruza, well, that should be obvious. The rabbanan said you can do the redemption with something of, with a sheep of any value. Why does Rav Yosef have to tell me that its redemption can be done with this? So mahu detema, one would have thought kule hai loy, something worth a danka, something worth a sixth of a dinar, or alternatively something that's emaciated, maybe that far you can't go. Let's continue in the Gemara where it says that very point, inami patruzalo. Kulehai would have meant a danka, so little in value, like a danka, or something emaciated, like a patru, like is indicated by patruza. Maybe that far you can't go. Komash malon, that's why I have to be taught even patruza that is worth a danka. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.